Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to another edition of the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. The provision of health services is a critical and significant mission for the U.S. Department of Defense and its military health system. It goes to the core of military readiness. From frontline combat support hospitals to its TRICARE program, the military health system provides care to its troops and their families on multiple fronts. With us to discuss the TRICARE program is our very special guest, Rear Admiral Christine Hunter, Deputy Director, TRICARE Management Activity within the Department of Defense. Admiral, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure having you.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Also joining us in our conversation is Terry Ergens, IBM's Military Health Practice Leader. Terry, always good to have you.
Great to be here.
Admiral, I'd like to start off, in order to get a sense of TRICARE, it would be good to get a feel for the general mission and scope and vision of the military health system.
And happy to provide that. So the military health system, the entire system, exists to provide health services in support of our nation's military mission. And we say anytime, anywhere, or more recently, whatever it takes, wherever it takes us. And so as we look at that, there are a number of components of our mission. First of all, military readiness. We want a healthy and fit force, ready to go anywhere, resilient against disease, illness, and injury, and families that share that same resilience, along with a medical force that can go with them into harm's way and to provide that support from the point of injury. Back home in our hospitals and clinics, we want to provide the best possible care around the world, whether we're here in the continental United States or with families stationed overseas. And we do that from cradle to grave, also from birth to death for 9.5 million beneficiaries. And then the third part of that mission is our education, training, and research. So when you look at the next generation, you're always preparing for the unknown, for the unanticipated challenge for the future. And in order to do that, we have to grow and train our military medical providers, nurses, corpsmen and medics, allied health specialists for the future and for the challenges of the future. And we need to do research. And our research is aimed at, again, preventing disease, illness, and injury, enhancing the recovery from disease, illness, and injury. And also, we have a large medical database, and so we see ourselves as having responsibility for advancing the art and science of medicine writ large.
So what about TRICARE, and how does it fit in? What's the mission and scope of TRICARE?
Well, TRICARE is the name that we use to refer to our health plan. So in general, the centerpiece is the military hospitals and clinics, what we call the direct care system, places where our medical providers deliver care every single day, where they train for their readiness mission, where they take care of families and provide care on bases and stations around the world. Complementing that is a whole family of contract type of products in which we use civilian medical resources to provide care either where we don't have enough care in a particular area, where we are not physically present in all the places where we see our guard and reserve, or where there are additional services that we would like to provide to enhance our benefit and our programs.
What's the size of your budget, the number of personnel?
At the TRICARE management activity, so the field activity where we run the TRICARE programs, we have just over 1,000 people, and we are in Falls Church here in Northern Virginia. We have regional offices, one actually here in the D.C. metro area, one down in San Antonio, which handles the south, and one in San Diego, which handles the west. We have additional service detachments in Aurora, Colorado, and in the Chicago area. And then overseas, we have offices in Europe and in the Pacific. So it's a pretty broad staff covering the entire world. And if you include the budget of the TRICARE contract, so the actual cost of care, of course, is a very significant part of our budget. And we're just resoliciting those contracts for an approximate price of $55 billion over a five-year period. And so just in contracted health care alone, we're about $12 billion a year. And then there are salaries and other things over and above that.
Admiral, could you please describe your specific responsibilities and duties as a deputy director of the TRICARE management activity?
As you know, I've been in the job for just about that magic 100 days where you learn the ropes and you learn what you really are responsible for. So I'm responsible for the day-to-day management of the TRICARE health plan. And so that really relates to the services provided to our 9.5 million beneficiaries, especially those who are using the purchase care side. So the benefit determinations, administration of the contracts, overseeing claims payments, developing new vehicles, moving toward quality and health, and trying to incentivize the sorts of things that we really want to see as we move toward being the optimal healthcare system that we can be for today's needs. In addition, I have a major role of partnering with the military services, and my primary partners are the Deputy Surgeons General. We work together to ensure that patients, of course, move all the time between the military hospitals and clinics and civilian sources of healthcare so that our programs are aligned, we're working together, we have common goals, and we're mutually supportive.
Regarding your responsibilities and duties, what would you say the top three challenges that you face in your position, and how have you addressed those challenges?
As we look at challenges that face us, of course, there are many. We have been at war for a long time now. Our military families are facing additional stressors. Our wounded warriors are looking at recovery and reintegration and restoring their lives after what can be a devastating injury. And so I would say that one of our first and top priorities has been support to our wounded warriors and families, those who have given nearly everything they have to our country, who have come back with injuries, both the visible and the ones that are not so visible, and who need our help to be able to resume the best possible quality of life. Then when we look a little bit further out from that, what we call behavioral health has been a real priority for us. There's been a lot of talk about words like resilience. How do we ensure that people who either go into a conflict or support someone who goes in, who have an incredibly intense experience, maybe lose a buddy or have a very serious injury themselves, come back and are able to integrate that mentally and psychologically, rebond with their families when they return from long deployments, and sometimes get ready to deploy again? So we've put a lot of effort into developing supportive counseling, preventive programs, stress management programs, anger management programs, and modalities to deal with things like pain that may accompany a physical injury and yet influence the emotional recovery as well. As a third priority, if I could say my top three, preventive care and getting to healthy outcomes. So for many years, health plans have been focused on disease and managing disease, and we certainly believe in that and want to manage people to the best state of health that they can be in. But we're shifting our focus over the last few years to get to health, really to have an emphasis on prevention and screening and partnering with your provider so that we can keep you healthy and maybe even avoid that significant illness that maybe in your family history.
Could you describe your career path for our listeners? How did you begin your career?
Well, I started as a health profession scholarship program student. And so I was a six-year medical student at Boston University. I knew that I would be going to school both winter and summer. And there was really no opportunity to work during that time frame. So in evaluating my options, I chose a Navy scholarship. It has presented one interesting opportunity and challenge after another. So I was among the first women to go aboard ships as a senior medical officer on board the USS Hunley. That was a submarine tender. I later did a residency in internal medicine and a fellowship in hematology oncology and enjoyed that part of my career immensely. I opened the first multidisciplinary breast cancer clinic in Navy medicine. And then I got into leadership in the middle 90s with my first job as the medical director at Naval Medical Center San Diego, and have had many command opportunities since then.
That's terrific. How has experiences shaped your leadership style? And to you, what are the good qualities of a leader? What makes a good leader?
Well, a good leader is inspirational. A good leader is creative. A good leader communicates clearly and listens effectively. And so in recent years, I've been quite a student of Admiral Mike Mullen, our chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And when he was our chief of naval operations, he talked about listening, learning and leading in that order and doing that every day when you came to work as a leader. And as we faced challenges with healthcare for wounded warriors after we became aware of the circumstances at Walter Reed, and I was running the Naval Medical Center San Diego at that time, his words actually echoed in my mind nearly every day. I need to learn what these individuals need from us, what their families need from us, what we can provide, what the community can provide. And my role is to integrate that, to tell our story, but also to be willing to change and modify and inspire those below me to learn more and do more and be more creative with the tools that we have before us.
How are TRICARE services delivered? We will ask Rear Admiral Christine Hunter, Deputy Director, TRICARE Management Activity, to share with us when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.